Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am the handyman, Troy Otradovic, joined by the creative, Evan Witalison, out in the great state of Wisconsin. I'm just in one of those moods today, Evan. Handyman, Troy, creative, Evan. How are things out in the great state of Wisconsin?
Things are good. Just another great day in paradise, and another fun Tuesday. Now it's a very windy Tuesday. As it sounds like there's a wind tunnel. That's what it sounds like when I look outside. Or I should say when I listen outside. So, you know, for those that are outdoors, especially in the Minnesota area, be safe out there because the weather is quite crazy. So, you know, Bucks won today in Texas. So I know it's a bit of a stretch, but here's what I'm going to do. Here's how I'm going to line this up. So the Milwaukee Bucks had a game in Detroit. The Packers go into Detroit and get a win. The Packers have a game against the New York Knicks in New York. Bucks go into New York and get a win. The Packers play the Giants and get a win. Now, I know San Antonio and Dallas, two different cities, but the Bucks have a game in Texas and win. So can this trend continue on Sunday? I don't know, but, you know, hopefully it does. And, you know, we're going to talk more about that on Sunday, but on Thursday for Sunday's game. But the Milwaukee Bucks get a victory for the first time since 2008 in San Antonio. So congrats to the Bucks. Make sure you're hashtagging NBA vote with Giannis Antetokounmpo. Please make sure you're spelling his name correctly. I know a lot of his votes are probably being thrown out because people aren't spelling it correctly. And after you hashtag NBA vote Giannis Antetokounmpo, hashtag NBA vote Jabari Parker. So anyways, get a Bucks victory. Talk about Wild Card Weekend. And in the conversation, it seems like you and I need to have every year during the playoffs. And we're going to discuss it today once again. Come playoff time, the NFL splits up the refereeing crews. And rather than having crews work together, they take the highest-ranking officials and put them all together. So that's what they did again. And there is some crummy officiating, especially in that Detroit-Seattle game. So kind of got to talk about that again. It's like, what, the second or third year in a row we're going to be discussing that. But you know, before we do go into that, going to throw it back to you really quick. How are things out in the great state of Western Pennsylvania?
Oh, we're doing good. I use the term handyman because I had to fix the door today. The door to the studio /sun porch, the spring inside the door broke, so the door would not open. So I spent some time prying a door open and replacing the little latch. But this adventure, Evan, took a drill, took a chisel, took a crowbar. It was not like just undo a few screws and put a new door handle in. It's an old door. The door got stuck. Literally, it wouldn't open. I had to pry it open and push it and pry it. And it didn't take long. It just I had to use a lot of different tools. And so I was pretty proud of myself. Now, I don't think anybody would be calling me to do handyman work around their house, but I was pretty proud of myself. But what you're talking about, Evan, the NFL officials, we're definitely going to get into that. A wild card weekend where all of the home teams won. Pretty rare. Usually one of the road teams will win. Two. We've seen years where more than two have won. But you look at it, and a lot of people will say, well, there wasn't really any close games. But I looked at them outside of, to be honest, maybe the Houston game. I enjoyed watching them. But at the end of the day, the home teams are division winners. They won their divisions for a reason, but it was an exciting NFL wild card weekend nonetheless. We recapped the Packer game last night, and so if you guys want to hear our thoughts on the Packers, Make sure you go to at Red Light Sports. Look on our timeline for the archived episode. Tonight we're going to touch on the other three games, plus, like you said, Evan, the officiating. Before we talk NFL, just a quick note on Clemson beating Alabama. Wanted to get your quick thoughts on that. Clemson's first national championship since 1981. I was surprised that Alabama gave up that many points. I knew Clemson had a good offense, but Alabama boasts a very good defense, and they gave up a late touchdown, which is uncharacteristic. Hats off to Clemson. Hats really off to Clemson for taking down mighty Alabama, but I did not think they'd put up 35 points, Evan. Now, I thought they'd put some points on the board, but 35 is a lot against that Alabama defense. What were your quick thoughts, and then we'll move into NFL Wild Card Weekend.
Well, I'm really surprised Clemson won. Alabama's defense, yes, very, very good. However, Alabama's defense really hasn't faced an offense like Clemson all year. Clemson's offense was just very slow to get started. And, you know, and that's an offense you're not going to hold back or hold down for very long. They're going to, you know, get the offense moving and put some points on the board. They got a lot of athletes, Mike Williams, Deshaun Watson, just to name two, quarterback-wide receiver combination. But Watson, as I said, he started out slow, but he really picked it up. And he has had back-to-back 400-yard passing days in the national championship game. And if I'm not mistaken, he's the first quarterback ever to go for 400 national championship game, and he's now done it twice. So I'm not really surprised. I guess I'm more, you know, a little stunned, I guess, but not really surprised. And I expected Clemson to win, actually. And it didn't look like that was going to happen early in the game. But I just felt, like I said, I thought Clemson's offense was going to be too explosive for Alabama to shut down the entire game. But I'm surprised as Alabama had a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter, and after O.J. Howard had a big touchdown catch and run, very athletic tight end, you know, I look at, you know, my Twitter, and most people are up, game over, game over, game over, game over. I didn't think it was over, and I didn't really watch the end of the game because, you know, I went to bed because I had to be up really early. But I wake up this morning and see on my phone that Clemson had won. And, you know, games are never over till it's over. But I am surprised Alabama gave up a double-digit lead going into the fourth quarter. That's what surprised me. So, but Clemson, very great team. Hats off to them. They kept fighting even when they were down 14-0 against the, you know, everyone was touting the number one defense in college football history. A lot of teams could have easily packed it up and said, you know, it's over, and just, you know, rolled out the rest of the game. But, you know, Clemson kept fighting. So hats off to them. Hats off to Dabo Sweeney and the Clemson football team, and congrats to them. So,
yeah, well, let's move right into it, Evan, and let's go right to the officiating. I mean, we'll talk about the games here in a little bit, but like you said, in the NFL playoffs, the referees are ranked during the year, graded on their performance, and the best, supposedly, I'm air quoting, the best of the best get to officiate in the playoffs. It's not the crews that travel around during the year. Like, you have the Ed Hockley crew, and they go around. They stay together all year. It's the same guys, so they're cohesive. They understand each other. They call games a certain way. There's certain crews that, you know, this is the way they call holding. This is the way that they call passing. I mean, I know there's guidelines and of what these penalties are, but there is some give and take in certain situations. Some crews are a little tighter than others. Some are a little bit – some throw the yellow flag more than other crews. But when you get to the NFL playoffs, it is now individuals that get – to go into a crew and officiate a game. And yes, Evan, we've talked about it every year, and it's just not working. It does not work by sending individuals to officiate a game together for the first time. Now, they probably know each other, but they're on the field. And I really believe that crews need to be rated. The crews need to be rated. Take the best crews and let them officiate games, not the best individuals. It's just not working. You saw some horrid officiating. You're seeing longer games because a lot longer discussions are going on. And it's probably because, okay, well, you know, like, Evan, if you and I were doing it, didn't know each other, I really got to explain myself. I don't know where you're coming from. What did you see? Well, I saw this. I don't agree with you, blah, blah, blah. When you have a team or a crew that's been together, there's a lot more of cohesive conversation. And that means, hey, go up there, I saw this. You know, that you can be a little more candid quicker. But, man, Evan, I really think the NFL has to look at it, and I think the crews have to advance. The best crews should be playoff bound, and they should be rewarded. And however they want to do that, grading for the crews, take the individual scores, add them up, however they want to do it, at the end of the day, those crews that are together need to stay together and move on to the playoffs. That's my thought.
Yeah, and I definitely agree, because when you work together for so long, you get a feel for one another. You get comfort with one another. And you start mixing and matching and moving around and putting you know, crews with different people and different guys, it screws up the chemistry. You know, I saw a couple pretty horrid I've saw some pretty horrid calls and missed calls that was quite make you wonder what the hell is going on with some of these crews. And it's, I'm guessing that they were, you know, like when you have a crew together, they probably expect somebody else is going to be in position to see that. You look at, for instance, there should have been a face mask on Aaron Ripkowski's third down and one carry. Well, he got pulled down by the face mask. I'm wondering why nobody saw that. That was just a head scratcher to me. I don't get why nobody saw it. It baffles me. But I agree with you. They should keep crews together. That's who they're comfortable working with. Let them work with them. Let them work with each other. That's what they should do. So I really don't get them moving around. So, you know, not surprisingly, and we predicted it, all the home teams advanced. Pittsburgh looked really good against a pretty talented Miami defense, putting up 30 points. Seattle just completely dominated Detroit, and I know the score was much closer than 26-6 going into the fourth quarter. It was just 10-6, and Seahawks scored 16 points in the fourth quarter. But I never really felt that the Lions were even in the game, even when it was 10-6. I didn't feel the Lions. I thought Seattle had the game won, just based off watching Detroit try to run an offense. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't pass the ball. They couldn't run the ball. They can't run the ball anyway. But I look at Matthew Stafford. I'm not comparing the two quarterbacks talent-wise. I know Dan Marino's in a class of his own. But what the Lions try to me is doing to Matthew Stafford is what the Dolphins did to Dan Marino, where they basically refused or failed time and time again to put a running game behind Dan Marino. You know, John Elway didn't win Super Bowls until he got Terrell Davis running behind him. Matthew Stafford needs help with the running game. If I'm Detroit, the first thing I'm looking at in the offseason is I'm finding a running back, either in the draft trying to get Fournette, or take a shot at Mixon from Oklahoma, who has a lot of question marks and red flags, Booker from Florida State, try to get one of those guys. But if I'm Detroit, I'm doing everything I possibly can to get find a running back. Because Matthew Stafford, talented quarterback, but he needs some help. You can't expect him to throw the ball 50 times a game and win, especially against a team like Seattle. You really can't. And then Miami and Oakland, same thing. I never felt that they were ever a threat in the game. And Oakland gave the best effort they possibly could, but they're just overmatched. And if Houston could ever have an actual quarterback, if Houston had an actual quarterback this year, Troy, I think Houston would have a very good shot playing in a few weeks at Houston again. I really think they would. But quarterback, that's the issue. And I know Denver won the Super Bowl last year with a much, with Peyton Manning, who was very ineffective at times, and was much different version of the Peyton Manning that we're used to. But Houston can't even get that production at quarterback. And if they actually had a quarterback that could protect the football and actually make a play here or there, Houston would be probably Super Bowl bound with no doubt at all. So what are your thoughts on the wild card matchups? Like I said, I never felt any of the road teams, except the Giants for a little bit, but I didn't feel any of the road teams was really much of a threat at all in the game, even when the scores were close.
No, I agree. And like I said, I thought I said it last night, the winner of the Packer-Giant game, I've said it a few times, I think will be going to the Super Bowl. To me, that was the most competitive game of the four games. And, again, not taking anything away from the winners, all good teams. But I'm talking about a competitive game where I saw two heavyweights going at it, and that's what the Giants-Packers were. You look at Houston-Oakland, and that Oakland defense, average at best. Offensively, you lose an MVP candidate in Derek Carr, a legitimate contender for the MVP. I give Jack Del Rio a lot of credit for what he did and has done in Oakland. He's a guy that I know Jason Garrett's probably running away with Coach of the Year. I think Jack Del Rio should be highly considered for Coach of the Year. However, you've taken away a key component, and that is Derek Carr. And then you go in with your backup, who you feel pretty confident with in week 17, and bam, he's out. So you're literally starting a third-string quarterback, first-ever rookie to make his debut in the playoffs. What did you expect? And it's unfortunate, but that's the way the world of the NFL works. But, you look at that Houston Texan defense, very good. And I'll tell you this, Evan, after watching that game, Brock Osweiler's agent is a genius, just a pure genius. And I say that in the sense that I don't want to say he duped Houston, but they certainly did not get what they paid for. They certainly did not get that. You might see Tony Romo going across the state. They're a quarterback away, Evan. They don't have the greatest running game in the world, but they have a running game. And they got really good young receivers, and they need a quarterback. I could see Tony Romo making the trek across the state. Did not get their return on investment on a Brock Osweiler. And the funny thing is, Evan, Bill O'Brien's supposed to be a quarterback guy. He's supposed to be able to develop quarterbacks and help quarterbacks. I think Brock Osweiler got worse. And sometimes the big money, the expectations with big money.
I don't mean to cut you off really quick, but when the Houston Texans decided to give Osweiler all that money, Bill O'Brien had yet to actually have a conversation with Brock Osweiler at that time. I just wanted to throw that out there. They haven't even talked yet.
So, I mean, you look at it, though, and he's supposed to be this guy that can – work with quarterbacks. I think Brock Osweiler has gotten worse. Like I said, a lot of things can happen. And maybe he puts a lot of pressure on himself. But you know what? You're a quarterback. The best quarterbacks get paid a lot of money, and they don't poo the bet. Brock Osweiler, Evan, could have been a poo the bet candidate every week. He could be the yearly poo the bet award. Moving on, Steelers, what's to talk about? Steelers are a hot team right now, and they're just smoking hot. You talked about it in the preview of this weekend. You got Big Ben. You've got Antonio Brown. You've got Le'Veon Bell. Bell set a franchise record for rushing yards in a game. Antonio Brown, two first-quarter touchdowns. That offense, tough to stop. And, I know you need defense to win championships. We know that. But when you look at it, going into New England, you got to score points. And I think the Steelers actually have an offense that can score points. They're a tough team. Defensively, these two teams remind me, the Packers and the Steelers to me are mirror images right now. Really good offenses, defenses that can make stops at times and look really good, but then on the next series look really bad. And that's what I see in the Steelers' defense. They're very similar in these two teams, Green Bay and Pittsburgh. Could you see a rematch of a Super Bowl? I think so. It legitimately could happen because they're mirror images of each other, but when you look at what they bring to the table, sometimes, and I say it that way, sometimes their defenses step up to the task and make a stop. They don't go out and dominate for 60 minutes, but they have those moments, and you and I have talked about it through the course of the Packers season. We just need the Packers to do enough defensively and to make a stop here and there. And that's what that defense does in Pittsburgh. It didn't surprise you. It didn't surprise me that the Steelers put up a lot of points and sent Miami home packing. And then there's not much to talk about Seattle and Detroit, Evan. Seattle plays great at home. It's like they were toying with the Lions for three quarters, just toying with them. Like, ha, 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 ha. Kind of like when you put a piece of food by a dog and just make the dog jump up and down and do tricks. It's kind of what I thought. Like you said, I never thought the Lions were really in the game. I thought, and I'm not saying Seattle did it intentionally, but it's just like they're toying with them. Or they're gonna blow this game open at some point. They did. I want to, touch on what you said, Evan, about Stafford and the Lions. Yeah, they need a running game. I thought Stafford early in the year, and I think as his career goes on now, without Calvin Johnson, could be a blessing. Make him actually play quarterback, spread the ball around, look for different options, actually play the quarterback position, not just heave it up to Calvin Johnson. I thought Stafford had a very good year. I know people are trying to throw him into the MVP talk. I wouldn't quite go that far. But I think Stafford had a very good year. And if they could get any resemblance of a run game, because that play action is so important. But when you're one-dimensional, all other teams have to do, pin their ears back and knock the snot out of the quarterback. And that's what happened to Detroit. So there's my quick recap on the games. What else you got tonight?
I don't have anything else to add. You're talking about a potential rematch of the Super Bowl. I do want to see a rematch in the Super Bowl, but however, I want to see a rematch from 50 years ago this month, and I think that would be really cool. You have potentially the Packers and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and there would be a rematch from, Super Bowl I. played in January 50 years ago. So to me, that would be very cool. Obviously, I just want the Packers there in general, but I think that'd be very cool to see. 50 years later, you got the Packers and the Chiefs playing each other again for the Super Bowl. And then next year, let's have Packers and Raiders play each other 50 years later. So I just think that would be kind of funny if that's how it shapes up. But I got nothing else to add, so I'm going to throw it back to you to wrap things up and let our listeners go a little early today.
How are we going to let them go early, Evan? That doesn't happen very often. But we have a good show tomorrow night. We're going to do Twitter Talk. Probably do a little hodgepodge of things tomorrow night. I know we're going to preview Packers Cowboys on Thursday night, but we have, I don't want to say that we've ignored other sports at it, but we really have as the NFL, but NFL's playoffs, that takes priority. So I know you said we're going to let them go a little bit early tomorrow night, just to give a recap. We've done this every year also, Evan. NHL All-Star game coming up, new format, skills competition. We're going to talk a little bit about the All-Star weekend for the NHL and what we like about it, and, do we like the new format, three on three? I do a coach's show for the Johnstown Tomahawks, and I talked to Coach Letizia today. We did our show, and we were talking a little bit about the NHL All-Star Weekend. So I'll share some of his thoughts. Maybe I can pull the sound bit up and get it in the studio. But we'll talk a little bit about that tomorrow night, maybe throw some basketball in there. we've pretty much been football dominating here for the last 2 weeks. But, you know, with that said, for Evan Wachalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Join us tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas. We'll get back at you later. Have a good night, everyone.